رسولك وأمينك وصفيك صلاة ترفع بها درجته وتبين بها فضله. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد، وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد، كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله واتباع أمره واجتناب ما نهى عنه. قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The battle of Karbala that took place in the year of 61 of Hijra was considered one of the shortest battles that have taken place in the history of Islam. Usually battles takes days, if not months, and sometimes years and decades. But when you look at the epic of Karbala, the battle of Karbala, were only a few hours. Started right after the dawn and sunrise, and ended up shortly after noon, with one army being annihilated and eradicated from the scene, and one army was victorious and declared victory. Yet this battle was a turning point in the Islamic history that cannot be matched and has dwarfed any other event that took place during and throughout the Islamic history. The profound and decisive result that it has produced is unmatched by any other event. A turning point that we see the effect up to now and will continue until the day of judgment. In that battle, on one side, the descendant of the Prophet, the natural extension of the Prophet versus the evil have faced, and eventually that man was brutally killed. But it has left great messages to us and to the entire humanity. In these short minutes, I will talk about a few lessons that we learn from that battle. After your salawat. The first lesson, it was the war of ideas, the war of principles. It was not due to personals or to animosity between two clans and two families or two individuals. Also, although the ideas have exacerbated the situation to show it as a personal animosity, but eventually it was the war of principles. On one side there is a distinctive principle, and on the other side there was also a distinctive principles. And the great message of that is that we, throughout our lives, we have to adhere to fundamentals and principles. We cannot be floating. We cannot move with the wind. Wherever the wind ends up keeping us and sending us, we go with. You have to have a principle. We have to have a sticking point, a fundamental by which we live and express our ideals. Someone who does not have a principle is similar to a floating log in the stream, in the sea, that any wave can take him to left and right. Or like the chemical element called mercury. You know, mercury used in the thermometer. The only feature it has elasticity. Due to thermal expansion, expands, and shrinking, depends on the temperature, by itself does not have any sturdiness. Therefore, it cannot be used in any industry except being captive of the thermometer. Unlike iron and steel and copper and other elements, that they have their own characteristics and their own sturdiness. Mercury is a floating element. So those who do not have any principles, they get washed away. Al-Imam al-Hussein, in his description, he described them. He said, those are the slaves of the dunya. وَالنَّاسُ عَبِيدُ الدُّنْيَا يَنْعِقُونَ مَعَ كُلِّ نَاعِقٍ. They make the sound of a crow, meaning that whoever screams and cry out loud, they follow him without really seeing the truth, without finding a place to become their refuge in their ideology and their principles. Those people get washed away. History will bury them and they will become nothing eventually. يَنْعَقُونَ مَعَ كُلِّ نَاعِقٍ فَإِذَا مُحَّصُوا بِالْبَلَاءِ قَلَّ الدَّيَّانُونَ. The Imam عليه السلام drew a distinction. He made the principle in this, that those two are not matching, the line of Bani Umayyah and the line of Bani Hashim. The line of Amawi and line of Alawi, those two lines never cross each other, never meet each other. There is a distinctive line on one side and the other one is on the other side, and they are all opposite to each other. It is not the matter of a person Hussein or a person of Yazid. Someone in caliber of Hussein would not pledge allegiance and would not submit himself to someone like Yazid. This is the principle. This is the distinction that Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, draw on the battle of Karbala. When he told the ruler of Medina, he told him, Ya Amir, Inna Ahl Bayt al-Nubuwa, wa mawdi' al-Risala, wa mukhtalaf al-Malaika, bina yaftahu Allah, wa bina yakhtim, wa yazid, rajulun fasiq, sharibun lil-khamr, qatilun lil-nafs al-muharrama, mu'linun bil-fisq. He gave his features, where he descended from, and where Yazid descended from. Then eventually he said this eternal word. He said, وَمِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُعُ مِثْلَ. Someone in my caliber, someone who has the same features as I do, would not pledge allegiance to someone like Yazid. So it is not two individuals that they were fighting, Hussein on one side and Yazid on one side. It is the position of Hussein versus position of Yazid. And we have to fill this position throughout our life. Should we become on the camp of Hussein or camp of Yazid? It's an embodiment that we will take. After Hussein, alayhi salam, there were so many Husseins. Zain al-Abideen took the position of Hussein, while Hisham ibn Abd al-Malik took the position of Yazid. Afterward, was As-Sadiq, who was the Hussein of his time, versus Al-Mansur, who was the Yazid of his time. Afterward, Musa al-Kadhim was the Hussein of his time versus Harun, who was the Yazid of his time. And keeps going like that until our era. And this, the beautiful words of Kullu Ardin Karbala wa Kullu Yawmin Ashura, finds its meaning. We have to have a position. We have to declare our status on what camp we need to be. On the camp of Hussein or on the camp of Yazid. Just by weeping and crying for Hussein would not do it. When I declare myself to be the follower of Hussein, my behavior, my manner, my conduct all has to resemble Hussein. And fortunately, many of us love Hussein and cry for Hussein and lament the memory of Hussein. But when it comes to deeds and attitudes and manners, we resemble Muawiyah and Yazid in our deeds. This is what we should be careful about. So the history, the lesson of Ashura for the history was, is to have a distinction between the two camps and for us to decide. That was first lesson. The other lesson, brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein, when he stood up for his principles, he was upright from the very beginning. He did not compromise his principles. Any ruler, any political or military ruler, at one point, at one case, justifies his actions for the sake of the result. He says that the result justifies the method by which I conduct. And he tried to justify his, you know, misbehavior or misjudgment. But when you look at Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam from the very beginning, from the inception of his revolution, he took the straight course, the straight path, never deviated. When he declared that I came for the mercy, I came for the reform, the same manner that my grandfather came to be merciful and mercy to the entire world, I am also mercy to an entire world. The atrocities of Bani Umayyah will not make me deviate from my upright principle. Therefore, you see, when he encountered the army of Hur, at that time the army of Hur was only 1,000 people. They were dead beat, exhausted, thirsty, all hungry, lost morale when they encountered the camp and the army of Hussein in the middle of the war, in the middle of the road. The Imam could at that time ask his followers to surround them and kill them, and then he would win the battle, but he did not so. Why? Because his cause and his priority was not fight. He didn't come to fight. Rather, and not only he didn't fight them, he provided them with water. He saved their lives, because to him, saving the lives was important. On the Battle of Karbala, Zainab alayhi salam noticed a few tears are coming from the eyes of Hussein. She tried to encourage him, told him, my brother, you are son of Ali ibn Abi Talib and you weep. He said, I am not weeping for myself. I am weeping for this army that because of me are going to hell. They have a miserable life after this life because of me. Look how merciful was the soul of Hussein ibn Ali. When you see not only him, even his followers, the companions, Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil has faced an opportunity that he could finish Ibn Ziyad and win the battle. And Hussein would come to the city of Kufa and would be declared as the ruler of Kufa. And then he would challenge Yazid ibn Muawiyah. When Ibn Ziyad came to visit Hani ibn Urwa in his home, at that time, Muslim ibn Aqil could have raided Ibn Ziyad and could have killed him. And he was about to do so. But when he didn't, and they asked him, Muslim, why didn't you do that? He said his eternal word, which is Al-Imanu Qayyad Al-Fatk. If you are a true believer, you cannot betray. A belief, believing in God and the Prophet and the hereafter, stands in opposite of betrayal. You cannot consider yourself a believer, but you betray. We are here after an immaculate message. We're not here to govern. We're not after a physical victory. We are here to make to the populace, to the people, to the nations, that this is the immaculate message of Hussein, the message of mercy, the message of humanity and blessings. That's the message of Imam Hussein. We see that in his revolution, he imitated his grandfather when he brought everyone all on equal footing. There is no difference between white and black, between Qurashi and non-Qurashi, between Arab and non-Arab. in the eyes of Islam, they're all look the same. The Imam in the battle of Ashura, he embodied that. He brought that into display, expressed that in its beautiful, vivid image. When Joan, the servant of Abu Dharr, who was an African servant, who came with the Imam on the day of Ashura, he asked permission to fight the enemy. The Imam alayhi salam told him, Ya Joan, anta innama lahaqtana talaban lil'afiyah. You followed us, so you have a better life. You came here to have a provision and sustenance. Now we are in this conflict. Why do you get yourself involved in this conflict? Joan told the Imam alayhi salam, told him, Sayyidi, أنا في الرخاء ألحس قصاعكم وفي الشدة أخذلكم. During the good times and happy times, I'm your servant. I eat and lick from your dishes, eating your leftovers. How I build myself and nurture myself. When it comes the time for difficulty and affliction like this, I abandon you. لا والله أريد أن تتنفس علي بالجنة ليطيب ريحي ويبيض لوني ويشرف حسبي ونسبي. My skin is dark, my smell is repulsive, and I don't have any lineage. I want this dark blood to be mixed with the holy bloods of Bani Hashim, so I become in your statures. The historians say, when Joan fell on the ground, as he was spending his last moment, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam came and put his cheek on cheek of Joan, telling, إلهي طيب ريحه وبيض وجهه وَاجْعَلْهُ مَعَ الصَّالِحِينَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. This is how Imam Hussein treated his followers, treated people, bringing the memory of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi to a vivid image, so they would see that it was for the entire humanity. It was not only for the sake of power. And the third message, quickly, brothers and sisters, eventually, it is Haqq in the last round will win. No matter how much batil will continue, but the last round is always for the righteousness. No matter how many years and decades and centuries batil will govern, but at one point it will come to a halt and Haqq will be obvious. And Haqq will become victorious. Look at the Prophet Nuh for 950 years. He was struggling with his people. He asked them to join his religion to worship Allah, but at no avail. Eventually, when God asked him to build the ark, people used to walk by him and make fun of him, ridicule him. وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ قَوْمٌ سَخِرُوا مِنْهِ. They were ridiculing him. But eventually, the eventual situation was with him. And he became victorious. On the day of Ashura, one army was annihilated. But over a long period of time, that defeated army was the victorious. And the victorious army was annihilated. Where is the tomb of Yazid? Where is the tomb of Muawiyah? Who mentions Muawiyah and Yazid? Where is their whereabouts? Those soldiers who killed Hussein, where are they today? That is the words of Zainab alayhi salam when she said to Yazid in his courtyard, فَكِدْ كَيْدَكْ وَسْعَ سَعْيَكْ وَنَاصِبْ جَهْدَكْ وَنَاصِبْ جَهْدَكْ فَوَاللَّهِ لَا تَمْحُو ذِكْرَنَا وَلَا تُمِيتُ وَحْيَنَا وَلَا تُدْرِكُ أَمَدَنَا وَهَلْ رَأْيُكَ إِلَّا فند وأيامك إلا عدد وجمعك إلا بدد يوم ينادي المنادي ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين. يزيد, just a few days and then you will see that your entire group will be shattered and obliterated, and your days will come to an end, and your memory will be annihilated and eradicated. Today, millions of people, tens but hundreds of millions of people all declare Labbayka ya Hussein. This is the message of Ashura, that eventually the victorious will be that oppressed, that on the day of Ashura, who declared and he cried out loud, أَلَا هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنَا. After this lengthy period, he became the victorious. And Yazid and his clan and his ancestors were all been trashed in history. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد, الله الصمد, لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين, نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ به من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا, ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أرسل, اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد, أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك ونجيبك وصفيك وحبيبك, وصل على علي أمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين, وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين, وصل على سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين, وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الحجة القائم المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. عباد الله, أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله واتباع أمره واجتناب ما نهى عنه. روي عن سيدنا ومولانا علي بن الحسين زين العابدين أنه قال, رحم الله عمي العباس, فلقد آثر وأبلى وفدى أخاه بنفسه حتى قطعت يداه, فأبدله الله بجناحين يطير بهما مع الملائكة في الجنة. وإن للعباس لدرجة عند الله, وإن للعباس درجة في الجنة عند الله, منزلة يغبطه بها جميع الشهداء. If we want to understand the magnitude and the purpose of the revolution of Ashura, we cannot unless we know the three dimensions of this battle. On one dimension was the iconic figure of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. But the other two dimensions also need to be clarified in order to understand the entire purpose of this battle. One was for Zainab bint Ali alayhi salam, the sister of Al-Husayn, and the other one is Abul Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. When those are combined, when we look at their roles, and the philosophy and why they have participated and partaken in the battle, then the picture becomes clear to us. Therefore, in those few minutes, I will dedicate my talk about those two great icons after your salawat. Zainab, the lioness of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that shook the foundation of Bani Umayyah's dynasty. She became the address, she became the title of a pride and highness and decency and valor. This lioness that you would expect, a woman cannot resist the brutality of the battle, the viciousness, the gruesome images of the battle. She stood up and she was the torch bearer of the revolution after the martyrdom of her brother. She was born in the year of 5th of Hijrah. When Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam brought her to the Prophet asked him, have you named her? He told the Prophet, ما كنت لأسبقك يا رسول الله. I would not name her before you name her. And the Prophet said, وما كنت لأسبق ربي. I would not name her before my Lord names her. At that time, the angel came to the Prophet and told him, يا رسول الله, إن العلي القدير يقرئك السلام ويقول سمها زينب. زينب is a combination of two words. Zain, which is an ornament, and the other one, Ab, meaning father, the ornament of her father. She wasn't only the ornament of her father, she was the ornament for entire Bani Hashim, for her grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, and for Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi, and for the entire Muslim Ummah. This is how Zainab was. At an early age, she lost her mother. She witnessed the agonies and the saga of her mother. Maybe she was at that time 4 years old, no more, 4 or 5 years old. At that age, from the very beginning, she spent her time as an orphan. But she was to her father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, in the same way that her mother was to her father, the Prophet, peace be upon him. The Prophet has a beautiful word about his daughter when he said, Fatima ummu abiha. Fatima is the mother of her father. She was the caretaker of her father. This is how Zainab used to be to her father. She grew up orphan, you know, not seeing the blessing and the mercy of her a great mother. But she was under the patronage of her father until she grew up to the point that different icons and different leaders came to propose for her. But Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam refused. And he made her to wed her cousin, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, and ordered him, under this condition, you Abdullah, marry my daughter Zainab, is that she stays in the household of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And after me, she stays within the proximity of her brothers, Hassan and Hussein. You know, in the Islamic tradition, as well as the religious and normal tradition, the wife follows her husband. The Almighty talks about Musa alayhi salam. He said, فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلِ وَسَارَ بِأَهْلِهِ آنَسَ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ نَارًا. Musa married the daughter of Shu'aib alayhi salam. But when it was the time that Musa migrates to Egypt, he took his family. So indirectly the Almighty is stating that it is the woman that follows her husband. And this is how religious and normal traditions are. But in case of Zainab, her father from the very beginning made it clear to Abdullah. Told him, Ya Abdullah, Zainab will stay will stay in the household of Ali. For what reason? Because she needs to learn. She needs to stay in this academy, in this fortress, because there is a huge monumental task ahead of her, and she had to be prepared for that task. Therefore, from the very, very beginning, the Imam alayhi salam kept teaching her. The beautiful words of Zain al-Abidin about her, he tells her, Ya amma, wa anti bihamdillah alimatun ghayr mu'allama, wa fahimatun ghayr mufahama. Except an infallible, you have not taken your lesson from anyone else. Only the infallible who have taught you. You've got your knowledge straight from its true source and genuine source from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your father. This is how Zainab alayhi salam came to be from a party of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. This is how she was prepared to face the challenges in Karbala. I stated a few minutes ago, she was the one who would give solace to the soldiers, to the household of Imam al-Hussein. When she see her brother in a desperate moment, she would come and calm him and tells him, stay the course. She would tell him, have you checked your soldiers? Are you sure about your soldiers? She would take care of the patient in Karbala, Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and every martyr from the household of Ali that would fall, she was the one who would receive him and bring him to the camp, bring him to the tent, and she would hug and take solace, she would give solace to their mothers, to their sisters, to their relatives, in order to keep them, you know, to keep them calm, to keep them quiet. She lost two of her sons in the battle, Aun and Muhammad. And one of her daughters that's called Umm Kulthum, Yazid came to propose, but Imam Hussein alayhi salam rejected him. Marwan, who was the emissary and asked Imam Hussein, you know, Yazid is the king, is the monarch. It would be nice if you give him this daughter so you can make peace with Yazid. And Yazid can give you as much as you want to pay your debts and finish everything that you have. The Imam told him, first of all, our women are not the cause of to settle our debts. It is the man who is responsible of his debt. It's not the woman who will come from her dowry pays for his debt. Second, our differences, our animosity with Yazid is not for the dunya. That our sulh, our peace becomes for dunya. We have a war of ideas. It is the principles that collapses. She was the torch bearer of the revolution of Ashura. She was the one who crossed the message of Hussein alayhi salam to us. Today, with thanks to Zainab and her struggles, that we commemorate the memory of Hussein alayhi salam. The other icon is Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam. This man, a man of courage. Again, narrators say that he was born on the 26th of Hijrah, and right on one day after the birthday of Hussein. Of course, Imam Hussein, you know, older than him in so many years, but the date, look at the date. The Imam was born on 3rd of Sha'ban, while Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was born on 4th of Sha'ban. This is very revealing and telling. In fact, it is stating that the life of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, he was born to give his life for the sake of his brother, to be sacrificial of his brother, to risk his life for the cause of his brothers. On the day that he was born from his mother, Fatima bint Hizam, or Umm al-Baneen alayhi salam, on that day when his father Ali ibn Abi Talib came to see the baby, after he looked at the baby and how beautiful and gorgeous was the baby. He looked at him. He took his small hands from the swaddle and imprinted kiss on those hands, but those kisses were mixed with tears of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Umm al-Baneen was panicked, told him, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, is there is anything wrong with the hand of my child?" He said, "No, there is nothing wrong with this hand, but I am crying for the fact that these hands will be amputated in the way of my son Abi Abdullah al-Husayn." But look at the patience of Umm al-Baneen. She did not say, "I have nothing to do with that. I and my sons, why do we get involved in such kind of disagreement and fight? I can take my children and leave. This is your battle and the battle of your children." Not only she prepared Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, she prepared three other warriors to fight along with Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. It is narrated that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, who grew up not in the arms of Umm al-Baneen, rather in the arms of Zainab, his sister, who was older than him about 20 years or 21 years. She was the one who fed Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and nurtured him. One day she came to her father Ali ibn Abi Talib and told him, "Ya Abba, I feel so attached to this boy, very much affinity toward this boy, that I cannot separate myself from him. This is like my son. This is part of my flesh, part of my body. I am always attached to this boy. Is there any reason?" Her father told her, "Yes, Zainab, he is your guard. He is your protector. He is your guardian. He's the one who will sacrifice his life for you. He will be with you until the day of Karbala, on 10th of Muharram or 11th of Muharram." She told him, "Father, who will leave whom? Should I leave him or he will leave him? Or he will leave me?" Her father told her, "Zainab, you will leave him. You are in captivity while he is laying on the river bank of Furat, where his hand is amputated and decapitated. Look at the sacrifice and the courage that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas provided on that day." The Imam alayhi salam says, "Rahimallah ammi al-Abbas, فَلَقَدْ آثَرَ وَأَبْلَى." He has sacrificed and has gone through biggest test that you can ever imagine. وَفَدَى أَخَاهُ بِنَفْسِهِ. Eventually, he sacrificed his life for the sake of his brother and the companion and the children. When he entered the river of Furat, at that time, his heart was like a hellfire from thirst. As he got close and filled the water skin with water, he took a scoop of water. By looking at it, by sensing its coldness, any warrior had a legitimate reason to drink. But Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas said, "No. Ya nafsu min ba'd al-Husayn huni, wa ba'dahu la kunti antakuni, hadha al-Husayn وارد المنون وتشربين بارد المعين. تالله ما هذا فعال ديني ولا فعال صادق اليقين." Look at Hussein and his children. They are dying from thirst. Should I drink water? No, Allah. He threw up the water. He took his horse and running fast toward the camp. But the enemy stopped him. Took him, all of a sudden they hit him on his right hand. He grabbed the water skin. That was his purpose. He grabbed the water skin in his left hand, going as fast as he could. But another enemy cut out his left hand. At that time, he hugged the water skin with his chest. As he was going, an arrow penetrated the water skin. All the water shed on the floor. He stood. He didn't know what to do. He has a promise, children has a promise, Sukaybah and the little children, to bring them water. Now he doesn't have hand to fight, nor he can go to the Khaymah, to that tent. He was waiting right on that time. Someone hit him on the pole, with the pole on his head. Now one narrator said that, I have dreamed about Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, who came to me and told me, Ya Hada, you recite my eulogy and my lamentation, but tell the people, tell the audience, that every warrior, when he collapsed from the horse, he put his hand to protect his chest and his body. But I didn't have any hand. I received the ground with my chest. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأنا أخذت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته